Yeah, ask you a question. You don't have to reply. Maybe it'd be better if you didn't. How many of you are excited to hear what I say this morning? Me too. No, like honestly, I was asked probably 5 or 6 weeks ago to preach. And I have a principle in life. It's like, unless I have a really good reason to say no, I'll try it. So I've been thinking about what to share, and I thought I had something, and I worked on it, studied, prayed, did all the stuff, and the closer I got to the time to preach, the less I had to say. I mean, it's just like everything just flooded out of me. If I have devotions, I can come up with something and, I don't know, have a thought or something, but I don't know, for some reason, this morning, I've got a little bit that I have planned, but it's like, it felt like God needed to empty me out. And I hope it turns out. But I think that even if I don't have anything profound, like I still felt it was good to be here this morning. And one thing I did think of, I don't know if it's spirit led or not, but is there another need here this morning that we're not meeting? You know, we prayed for Ben, we prayed for some other people. Is there someone else that's sitting here that's like, man, I just wish someone would care for me? I just want to leave it open just for a second, just to make sure there's not someone we're missing. Because to me, that's what church is. We are supposed to care for each other. If not, that's fine. The last verse of song we sang fits very nicely into what I want to share this morning. I'm so glad I learned to trust thee, precious Jesus, Savior, friend, and I know that thou art with me, wilt be with me to the end. So I'm basically going to be reading two scriptures this morning. I tried to come up with some thoughts to add, but like I said, there was just nothing there. So I guess that's the way it's supposed to be. And the first chapter I'm going to read, it's not something that gets preached on very often, I feel like. And there's probably a good reason, because it's not very pleasant. I don't know if you all have, if you pay attention to things going on in our country right now, but it just seems like things are pretty messed up. The things people are pushing and the things that the loudest voices are screaming to really turn our country in a really wicked direction. And I don't know, I listened to a podcast of someone who said we should read Deuteronomy 28. And I read it and I was like, oh, that's where we're heading. And so I'm going to read most of chapter 28 this morning. And it's God's judgment on an ungodly nation. And my purpose is not to put fear in people's hearts. But I thought of the example of if I had a ball. Imagine I had a ball and I just whipped it at somebody. They had no idea it was coming. I mean, it would smack them in the face and they'd be totally taken off guard. But if they know it's coming, if they're looking at me, they watch the ball coming, they're prepared. They can deflect it, they can catch it. And I look at this chapter, and I think we can take it as God telling us to watch for the ball that's going to come. And I don't know if this is when this is going to happen, but I do believe it's going to happen one day, because it's in God's word, and I choose to believe God's word. So I'm going to read a lot of Deuteronomy 28, and I don't have a whole lot of comments to make, but chapter 28, verse 15. However, if you do not obey the Lord your God and do not carefully follow all his commands and decrees I am giving you today, all these curses will come upon you and overtake you. You will be cursed in the city and cursed in the country. Your basket and your kneading trough will be cursed. The fruit of your womb will be cursed, and the crops of your land, the calves of your herds, and the lambs of your flocks. You will be cursed when you come in, and cursed when you go out. The Lord will send on you curses, confusion, and rebuke in everything you put your hand to, until you are destroyed and come to sudden ruin because of the evil you have done in forsaking him. The Lord will plague you with diseases until he has destroyed you from the land you are entering to possess. The Lord will strike you with wasting disease, with fever and inflammation, with scorching heat and drought, with blight and mildew, which will plague you until you perish. The sky over your head will be bronze, the ground beneath you iron. The Lord will turn the rain of your country into dust and powder. It will come down from the skies until you are destroyed. The Lord will cause you to be defeated before your enemies. You will come at them from one direction, but flee from them in seven. You will become a thing of horror to all the kingdoms of the earth. Your carcasses will be food for all the birds of the air and the beasts of the earth, and there will be no one to frighten them away. The Lord will afflict you with the boils of Egypt, and the tumors, festering sores, and the itch from which you cannot be cured. The Lord will afflict you with madness, blindness, and confusion of mind. At midday you will grope about like a blind man in the dark. You will be unsuccessful in everything you do. Day after day you will be oppressed and robbed, with no one to rescue you. You will be pledged to be married to a woman, but another will take her and ravish her. You will build a house, but you will not live in it. You will plant a vineyard, but you will not even begin to enjoy its fruit. Your ox will be slaughtered before your eyes, but you will eat none of it. Your donkey will be forcibly taken from you, and will not be returned. Your sheep will be given to your enemies, and no one will rescue them. Your sons and daughters will be given to another nation, and you will wear out your eyes watching for them day after day, powerless to lift a hand. A people that you do not know will eat what your land and labor produce. You will have nothing but cruel oppression all your days. The sights you see will drive you mad. The Lord will afflict your knees and legs with painful boils that cannot be cured, spreading from the soles of your feet to the top of your head. The Lord will drive you and the king you set over you to a nation unknown to you or your fathers. There you will worship other gods, gods of wood and stone. You will become a thing of horror and an object of scorn and ridicule to all the nations where the Lord will drive you. You will sow much seed in the field, but you will harvest little, because locusts will devour it. You will plant vineyards and cultivate them, but you will not drink the wine, nor gather the grapes, because worms will eat them. You will have olive trees throughout your country, but you will not use the oil, because the olives will drop off. You will have sons and daughters, but you will not keep them, because they will go into captivity. Swarms of locusts will take over all your trees and the crops of your land. The alien who lives among you will rise above you higher and higher, but you will sink lower and lower. He will lend to you, but you will not lend to him. He will be the head, but you will be the tail. All these curses will come upon you. They will pursue you and overtake you until you are destroyed, because you did not obey the Lord your God and observe the commands and decrees he gave you. They will be a sign and a wonder to you and your descendants forever. Because you did not serve the Lord your God joyfully and gladly in the time of prosperity, therefore in hunger and thirst, in nakedness and dire poverty, you will serve the enemies the Lord sends against you. He will put an iron yoke on your neck until he has destroyed you. I don't know about you, that sounds pretty bleak. Like I said, my goal is not to frighten anybody, because this stuff is not, it's not pleasant to think about, and I'm not sure, I'm not sure where the dividing line is between believers and non-believers. Like, I do think God separates the two, but if the nation goes down, we're all gonna feel it. And even if these curses are not meant for those who believe, like, how many people do we know that it will affect? Like, we were out in Pennsylvania last weekend, and during Sunday school, there was this guy talking about, he was at a funeral for someone who he didn't think was a believer. And he was talking about how he was just thinking about where he was spending eternity. And I've thought about how often do we wait till someone dies to think about them? And that kind of bothered me. If we believe the Bible and we believe the things that it says, and these are the things that God says, he will judge the ungodly nations. This is going to affect people we know. Even if it doesn't affect us, to have the attitude, well, that's not about me, so I'm not going to worry about it. That's not what we're called to do. I'm debating in my mind if I want to read the worst of it, because it actually gets worse from there. I don't think I'm going to this morning. I'm going to leave it there. And what I was trying to do earlier in the week is try to find, okay, so the Bible says that's what's going to happen to a nation that forsakes God. And so, okay, so what are we supposed to do about that? How do we live during a time like that? And I dug and I looked and I worked and I couldn't find anything. And then finally this morning I was like, oh, I should just read what Jesus said. That would make sense. So I'm just going to read some in Matthew 5 and 6. And we all know it. But I guess my encouragement is let's do it. And now when he saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him, and he began to teach them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything, except to be thrown out and trampled by men. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. Do not think I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. I tell you the truth, until heaven and earth disappear, not the smallest letter, not the least stroke of a pen, will by any means disappear from the law, until everything is accomplished. Anyone who breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever practices and teaches these commands will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you that unless your righteousness surpasses that of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, you will certainly not enter the kingdom of heaven. You have heard that it was said to the people long ago, do not murder, and anyone who murders will be subject to judgment. But I tell you that anyone who is angry with his brother will be subject to judgment. Again, anyone who says to his brother, Raca, is answerable to the Sanhedrin. But anyone who says, you fool, will be in danger of the fire of hell. Therefore, if you are offering your gift at the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar. Go first and be reconciled to your brother. Then come and offer your gift. Settle matters quickly with your adversary who is taking you to court. Do it while you're still on the way with him. Or he may hand you over to the judge, and the judge may hand you over to the officer, and you may be thrown into prison. I tell you the truth, you will not get out until you have paid the last penny. You have heard that it was said, do not commit adultery. But I tell you, anyone who looks on a woman lustfully has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye causes you to sin, gouge it out and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to go into hell. It has been said, anyone who divorces his wife must give her a certificate of divorce. But I tell you that anyone who divorces his wife, except for marital unfaithfulness, causes her to become an adulteress. And anyone who marries the divorced woman commits adultery. Again, you have heard that it was said to the people long ago, do not break your oath, but keep the oaths you have made to the Lord. But I tell you, do not swear at all, either by heaven, for it is God's throne, or by the earth, but it's his footstool, or by Jerusalem, but it is the city of the great king. And do not swear by your head, for you cannot make even one hair white or black. Simply let your yes be yes and your no, no. Anything beyond this comes from the evil one. You have heard that it was said, eye for eye and tooth for tooth. But I tell you, do not resist an evil person. If someone strikes you on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if someone wants to see you and take your tunic, let him have your cloak as well. If someone forces you to go 1 mile, go with him 2 miles. Give to the one who asks you, and do not turn away from the one who wants to borrow from you. You have heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies, and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. He causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Are not even the tax collectors doing that? And if you greet only your brothers, what are you doing more than others? Do not even pagans do that? Be perfect, therefore, as your Father in heaven is perfect. Be careful not to do your righteous acts before God to be seen by them. Let me say that again. Be careful not to do your righteous acts before men to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. So when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets to be honored by men. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. I'm going to skip a couple of verses here. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moth and rust do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. But where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and mammon. Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is life not more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns. Yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Who of you by worrying can add a single hour to his life? And why do you worry about clothes? See the lilies of the field. See how the lilies of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you, not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. When I was thinking about this, there was one main thing that I kept thinking of. It's like, I guess I would like to call our church to a time of repentance for our nation. And I'm not exactly sure what that looks like. I've struggled to come up with the words, but if you look throughout history, you can see the rise and fall of nations. We could just list a whole row of nations that were just these massive behemoths, and all of a sudden they're gone. History remembers them, and that's about it. And I believe that's going to be our country one day. Yeah. I think that's about it. Let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we believe your word. We've never seen some of the things that you've written that will come upon a nation that does not obey you. And Father, I struggle to know what we should do, how we should live, how do we, as your church, make a difference in a nation like that. Father, I know it is not your desire to destroy people. It is not in your heart to do the things that I guess must be done because you are righteous. Remember Jonah, how you sent him to Nineveh to tell them to repent. You said it was not your desire to destroy them. And when they repented, you turned back from the things you had planned, from the things you had spoken against them. And Father, it is my prayer for this church that you would, I guess, show us what role we have in warning people of the judgment that is going to come. Because many people, they don't know. They have no idea what's coming. I ask you to put it in our hearts to speak the truth to them and to not hide it and not be silent. I ask you to give us a heart of love for these people. So much so that we must act, we must warn them. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.